Blog Talk Radio.
Back to the episode of Soul Empowerment Radio. I am your host tonight, Michael Brazel, once again, and here we are, another beautiful evening in Columbia, South Carolina. And let's just breathe for a moment together. Let's just come to the breath and just find it. The breath is an invitation for you to join this moment. So let's take a moment just to answer the call. Answer the invitation that the breath offers us in each moment. Let's accept that for a second and just show up. Showing up is often the hardest part of the spiritual journey, but once we show up, once we arrive, we can begin. So let's just breathe. Deep inhales and deep exhales. Just allow yourself to be here. Be here now in whatever way you need to be. And again, welcome. I thank all of you for joining me here. It's always a blessing to have an opportunity to do the radio show and to share in the experience of dialogue, intuition, healing, or whatever else comes from these exchanges. We open up the calls for readings and stuff, but the most important part of this show is the flow of information and the connection we receive from that flow of information. So we'll probably open up, you know, for a few calls. We're doing a shorter show today, just because we're just kind of coming back into the flow. It's the holidays. And I needed to check the technology for our big special guest tomorrow night, who's going to be here with me. Barbara Marks Hubbard is joining me to talk about her latest book, The Evolutionary Power of Co-Creation, The Promise Will Be Kept. It's going to be an amazing interview. Barbara is an amazing author. She is deep, deep stuff. We're going to be talking about tomorrow. So tune in and be part of the experience with us. Be part of that community and that connection with us tomorrow, because it's going to be pretty powerful. She's a futurist. She channels some pretty powerful information in her new book, and I'm really excited to pick her brains about all the stuff that is coming through for her, because she does talk a lot about the synergy between spirituality and technology and how we can co-create a very powerful, beautiful experience rather than continue down this current road, which is leading us towards a lot of misalignment. So, as usual, the housekeeping. So if you like the show, want to follow us, be sure to hit the follow button on the show page. You can also follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/mbrazel. You can also find me on my website, michaelbrazel.com. If you want to schedule a session with me, get a reading, healing session, if you're local and you want to do some yoga, we can do that as well. All my stuff is right there. Soulinteraction.com is my blog. You can find all kinds of really wonderful, exciting things there on my blog. Lots of good stuff coming. I am also currently running a special. So all of my 60-minute readings, $50 until the end of December. And you can book as many sessions as you want. You can buy as many as you want. Give them to your friends, family, people who you think could benefit from an intuitive consultation. And you'll have 6 months to book the session. So you don't have to book it right when you buy it, but you'll have 6 months to do that. So that's something that I'm offering. So I hope those of you who've been wanting to get a longer session with me will be able to do so via that. So there you have it. And also, if you want to support the show and make a donation, you can do so on the services page. At the very bottom of the page is a donate link. So just click the button, and it will take you to PayPal, and you can make a donation there. It's always appreciated because it does cost a lot of money to run this show. I also run a couple local meetups, and all that takes money. So all the money that I receive from that or from readings and things go straight back into producing these types of things for everybody. Also, I have a SoundCloud account. If you look me up on SoundCloud, just Michael Brazel or Mike Brazel, I post audio from our local gatherings, our local meditation gatherings. So if that's something that you'd want to listen to, because I don't record the entire session because that's privy for those who come, but I do record some of the most important parts of the session, 10, either because of location or because of the time of the session, still get to participate a little bit in that flow of information that happens. So be sure to check me out on SoundCloud. Lots of ways to find me. I'm floating all around the interwebs, which I'm also on some parts rejecting and resisting, because I've been like, I feel like I'm online like way too much. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be going through like a detox and getting myself offline. I'm still going to be doing the shows, but I'm not going to be online as much in between things, because I feel like I've been neglecting my personal practice a bit to try to get events up and things. And I'm not a super huge yogi in that I have, people, out there doing stuff for me. I have to do all of my own booking and stuff. So there you have it. That's the reality of it. So sometimes things don't necessarily work out as requested, So sometimes things, take a little longer to happen. So be patient with me. But I do feel like I need to get offline and back into my personal practice a whole lot more, because I feel that it's calling me to the cushion and to the yoga mat. I'm going to be teaching a lot more yoga classes here in the next few weeks. I'm also doing a lot more fitness. I'm getting back into my own personal fitness flow. One of the big things that happens during this time of the year is the body starts to call us back home. So we want to answer that call. The body needs your awareness as well. And especially this time of the year when we tend to overindulge sometimes in food, or we begin to overindulge in emotions, it's important to really listen to the body and allow the body to call you in whatever way it needs to. It may want to exercise. It may desire to eat certain foods that may be healthier. It may desire to detox or to cleanse. It may desire to take a break from the normal flow of activity. My body's been desiring to do more strength training, so I've been doing a lot more strength training and getting back into some of my old routines, which is really exciting because when you start to do that, you start to feel the impact of the newness in your body. The body responds very positively to that. So we want to give the body what it's asking for. We want to be sure we're not overindulging. This is where the journal comes in handy, and even keeping a fitness journal is really handy because it allows us to understand how we're building that relationship with ourselves. The journal is a very powerful mirror in which we can look and then also learn about ourselves, because that's what spirituality is all about. It's about learning who you are. Know thyself. And I think there's this big misconception with spirituality that we have to do something or go somewhere, or we have to have these transcendent moments. But what I find for me is most important is to do these descendant moments, where we're descending into the self versus trying to transcend the self. Because the reality is, you're here and you're in this body, and this is how you're actualizing the world. And you may want to escape that in some way. You may want to take drugs, or you may want to, out of body travel. You may want to astral travel, and all that stuff is great. But you want to check your motives behind wanting to do those things. Because if you're using those as an escape from here, it just makes being here that much more visceral. So those phenomena that happen through the processes that we may engage in spiritually are wonderful. They're pretty, it's great to have those things happen. I always enjoy having spiritual experiences and having things manifest through those experiences. But at the same time, that's not what we're looking for when we do spiritual work. When we do spiritual work, we're just getting to know ourselves. We're just getting to know ourselves a bit more. We're getting to understand who we are just a little bit better. Because when you know yourself, you can integrate. And through that process of integration, you can then do your great work, what you're here to do. And for some of us, that's the big lingering question. What am I here to do? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What am I supposed to be doing with this experience? And that's a powerful question to ask. And I ask it every single day, even though I feel that I really am living my journey now in a much more profound way, in a much more important way. I still ask that question because it's important. It's important to ask that question. I think it's necessary to ask that question because if you're not asking that question, you may be denying parts of your experience that are calling you forward. You want to be sure that you're not doing that. You want to be sure that you are not rejecting parts of yourself that may be needing your attention. So listen to the experience. Use your journal for that internal dialogue. Put it outside of you so that you can process what's happening on the inside. But take this time to really get into the body, get into the processes, but not with the expectation of result. Just do the work. And what will happen will unfold from you doing the work. I had a really great conversation with a friend of mine today through on Facebook, and we were talking about how, when we're talking about doing the work of integration, which is the work that I tend to specialize in with my clients, it's tough. because there's a part of us that fears what will we have to lose to do this work of integration. Like, what does it mean to integrate? And there's this fear of loss. And the question always is, what are you willing to give up in order to be more fully integrated? And what I find is if the answer is anything less than everything, I'm willing to give up everything, it can be terrifying. There's a mystery on the other side of change that we don't know what's going to happen when we start, so it keeps us from even starting. Like for some people, they may be afraid of what will happen if they get healthy, because they may have used or may have received something from being in this place of stagnation that they're now comfortable with. And there's a fear that's on the other side of transition and change. I always use death as the great example, because on the other side of death, we have a lot of theories, a lot of ideas, a lot of hypotheses, but we don't know. We really don't know what happens when we die. We don't. It's a mystery. It's this big mystery that just kind of lingers and looms there. And we won't know until we actually have the experience. So that's how spiritual practice works. Until you actually begin creating the experience for yourself and actually start doing the work, you won't know what's on the other side of change. But we do know that through consistent, steady practice, change will happen. When I first started doing this work, I was told that I'd have to be ready to lose everything. You know, you hear these cliche spiritual statements, you don't really think too much of them. And we were told when I took the perceptive awareness technique class that, you know, crap was going to hit the fan. Like, things were really going to change very, very quickly. And that to be ready. And I didn't really give much credence to it, you know. It was like, whatever. You know, it could possibly change. And within a matter of a year, I lost my relationship. I lost the place where I was living. I lost the job that I didn't really like that much anyways. But it pulled away all these things I was holding on to that really didn't need to be there. You know, everything fell apart. But it was all these things that were that needed to go, but I wasn't willing to let go of on my own. And that's the change that usually comes in when we commit to the spiritual journey, to the spiritual path. Big change happens very fast. Big change happens very fast. And when big change happens very fast, it can be terrifying. It requires us to shift and change everything. It's like when we receive a diagnosis for, you know, a pretty life-threatening illness or something big happens to us. We have to now, our entire world begins to shift a bit because this new inclusion, this new thing that's come into our lives. And spiritual practice is like that. It's a new thing that is into your life, and it starts to shift everything around it, which is why it's so important for us to show up to our practice and to show up to our work. It's so, so important for us to show up to our work. Because until you show up, you're just going to keep getting the things that you're getting. And if you're okay with that, then stay with it, right? If you're happy with where you are and you're enjoying that part of your path and that part of your journey, ride it out. Stay with it. Don't change anything. But if you're like me and like most people that I talk to and are ready for some big change, don't be afraid to start doing the work. It takes work. You know, people resist doing yoga because they feel they're not flexible enough. Well, that's why you do yoga. You do yoga so that you can get flexible and so that you can improve your body. But it's that fear of judgment of not being flexible enough. So there's all these other sublayers to our fears that actually keep us from showing up and beginning the process. But the minute you begin and you accept yourself right where you are and take those first steps, change happens. Change begins. You now have created a shift in your experience. And it's not just doing practice like every so often. Committed daily practice is important. And we've talked about that on this show before, that you want to have committed daily practice. Because if you're not committing to a daily practice, you're robbing yourself of this beautiful opportunity to create change and to shift something for yourself. You're not giving yourself the full spectrum treatment. you're limiting yourself entirely to this every so often practice. It doesn't say that every so often isn't good. It's saying that if you want full benefit, you have to do it every single day. You have to commit. Commitment is important on the spiritual journey. And it's important in life in general. We want commitment. Commitment's an important part of the process. If we're not committing to the journey, then we need to sit with that and ask ourselves why. What's our resistance to making this commitment to ourselves? Because you're not committing to the path. You're committing to yourself. So this desire and this work you will do on yourself is for you. And in bettering yourself, you also better the world around you. So it's so important for us to step into our power and to not resist the call the path puts out for us, whatever that call may be. And sometimes we have to get quiet enough to listen. That's where the journal comes in, because a journal is quiet space. The journal creates this beautiful space of dialogue that you can do with yourself. It's not just in your head. Stuff into paper. And I'm not talking about online journaling or blogging or whatever. I'm talking about putting pen to paper. Make it a static practice. Make it something that's embodied, embodied practice. Because once we open up the computers and stuff, there's 1,000 things calling our attention. It's not just one thing. There's too much distraction. With a journal, it's just pen, paper, and you in the space you're in. And there's still distraction, but it's more focused. It's focused on you writing. When you're typing on your computer and all of a sudden you see a notification pop up, most of us don't have enough willpower to not check the notification. We go straight for that because we've been conditioned to react to those stimuli as they pop up. So sanitize the space a bit. Get yourself out of that. Turn off your phone. Shut the computer down. Dim the lights a bit. Go sit outside. Take your journal with you. I take mine wherever I go because I never know when inspiration is going to pop in. I never know when Spirit's going to give me that message that I've been waiting for a long time. You know, once you create that space, once you create that space for information to flow, it's going to flow. So you have to be ready. So that once I put that call out to the universe by putting the journal in my hand or in my bag, the universe now knows we have a receptacle for that flow of information. So it's going to start delivering information to you. So don't resist it. Allow yourself the space to begin doing that work. Have something with you consistently, so that way you can consistently tune in, consistently capture what's coming through, so that you can be in tune with yourself and your processes. And it's nice to be able to capture pieces of the journey in your journal. It allows you to feel like you're involved in the process, that you're with it, you're in it. So do it. Stop resisting. This is not the time to do resolutions. This is the time to do intentions. This is what I'm going to do this year because I'm doing it. I'm not going to make a list of 15 things I might do. I'm going to make a list of things I already am doing, and I'm going to continue to commit to evolving that list. I'm going to start right where I am. And when we do that, when we start to do that, we start to really, really open up. We really start to see the change that'll come in. And don't be afraid of the changes, because they will come. And this is how change will come, especially if you are spiritually aware. It's going to come one way or the other. It's going to come either by you being a co-creator, or it's just going to come. It's either going to happen with you or to you. The nature of it. Relationships are a great example of this. Either you are, you know, doing CPR on a dead horse, or, you know, because you're actively trying to keep that dead relationship alive, you know, and eventually it's just going to fall away. You know, you're going to feel like it's happened to you. Or you can come to the awareness that sometimes things end, and you can let it fall away with grace. you can end it gracefully versus having it happen to you. Because endings happen, change happens. And not often can we co-create the experience. Not always can we be as involved as we need to be in the experience. But sometimes we do have a choice. And when it comes to doing spiritual work, we have a choice as to whether or not we want to show up to the journey or not show up to the journey. So make a choice to show up. Journaling is a great way to show up. It's an initial dive into the experience. It's a beautiful first step into the experience. Let yourself have that. Let yourself have those first steps into the experience. So open to the journey in whatever way you need to, but begin doing the work. Stop resisting. And as we go on, as we go into the new year, the show, we're going to be very focused on some very specific areas of spirituality. So for the past while, we've kind of just been jaunting here and jaunting there and kind of exploring and dabbling. But as we go into next year, I'm going to be very, very focused on what we're going to try to create with this show. My intuition has been giving me some very specific guidance on how we will structure the shows going forward, because I feel it's time for us to do the deeper, heavier listing. We're past time to play around. You know, we're no longer doing, you know, playtime. It's still playtime, but it's time to start doing some of the heavy lifting and to give you the tools necessary to get you into that flow and into that process of understanding what it means to do heavy lifting. So we're going to be doing a lot of that work. So be ready for that. So there will be some changes, more focused topics, and we'll be doing calls very specific to those topics. So we won't be doing as many readings, because I feel that the readings they're important, but not as important as giving you the tools in order to empower you to make those changes. A lot of times people get readings, they don't even follow through on the information given. So sometimes it's just, you know, people receive the information and just kind of sit with it. They sit on it. And change only happens when you are ready to integrate the information you receive. So I always tell people, when you come to me for a session, be ready to do the work. Because if you're not, you're just wasting your time. I'm very blunt about that. You know, aren't you ready to really just step into your power? And I'm not someone that coddles weakness well. So I will tell you that it's time to make these changes. And I won't see you again until you start making the changes. Because I feel it's important to empower you versus to make you dependent on me for information. So sometimes people will email me questions or call me and I just won't answer them because it's not something that I'm going to answer. Because to answer it would take away your power. Which is why we've changed how we're doing readings here on the show. So when we do readings here on the show, I'm only giving everyone like 7 minutes, even if we only have like a few callers, just because it's only fair to give everyone the same amount of time. And in the past, we have one caller. Like sometimes we have a few callers. We can sometimes go longer, but sometimes we have callers who call in and they ask like 50 questions. They kind of monopolize the conversation. And it's not really fair to other people who are calling in. But also, if you want to get a long reading, you're more welcome to schedule a session with me. And I'm pretty blunt about that too. This isn't just a place to get free readings. This is a place for you to grow and a place for you to get information to empower that growth. You know, play, and I know other shows do that. And I know psychics that do that and do that really well, but I'm not one of those people. Because I find when we do those kind of shows, it's the same kind of questions that call in over and over and over and over again. And it's the same people sometimes that will call in with the same question over and over and over and over again. And I don't mind that sometimes, but it's one of my pet peeves, because if you're asking the same question each time you call in, it means you're not doing the work. It means you're not listening. It means that you're not valuing the information you're receiving. And sometimes no information is there. Sometimes a healing is required. So sometimes we just breathe together. So I'm changing how I do sessions just across the board because it's more important to provide the healing in the moment than it is to provide you information that you may or may not use. Because to be honest, people, unless you're recording the session or writing down every word I say, you're not going to remember a lot of what happens in the session. But if we can plant some seeds through the healing work, we can shift some energy, we create an opening for your own intuition to become much more active and activated. What we do here on this show, though, is 7 minutes of healing. So it's basically healing sessions instead of readings. Sometimes information does come in and I deliver that, but mostly it's just us holding space for each other and you getting the chance to receive some of that healing energy. So I usually ask three questions when I tune in. Here in the show, we just do two of the three questions. So I usually ask you what's the current emotion you're feeling in your body. Then I'll ask you what do you need healing at this time. And then that's where we start our time together. Because those two questions, one, they bring you into the body and it lets us be of service. It lets us open to that space of service. And I know you may have 100 questions, you may have some very heavy things going on in your life, but we just don't have that kind of time here to do on the show. And sometimes people call in with some really heavy stuff, and we just don't have time to unpack that here. Like, even if it was just one caller, by the time we get to the part of the show, we actually open up. Like, someone called once about, like, a very difficult court case or something. We just don't have the time to unpack that. Don't have the time. And I don't do predictions. So I'm using this time to like put out like how these things work because I think sometimes it needs clarification. And today it's just kind of a short show, so we're doing that today. I don't do predictions. Why? Because predictions take you out of the moment, and all change happens here. Knowing the future is probable. We can do forecasting based on possible decisions you'll make, but since the future is pretty, it's fluid. We have choice. And my job as a healer and an intuitive is to empower you now so you can make the most effective decisions and create the most positive outcomes for yourself. And sometimes when people ask for those things, they're asking because they have a specific expectation in their mind. Like sometimes people will come to me, like I'll use this one as an example. They'll ask about jobs. They'll say, when am I going to get to the next job? And their expectation is that somewhere in my answer, I'm going to give them a very specific answer. And they're usually thinking something very soon, but sometimes the answer may be, you have to wait another year before that job that you want comes in. So rather than enforcing expectations, let's sit with the real question is, what about this place is causing stagnation within me? And what can we do about that? Because I may get that next new job if that sense of stagnation is still there, it just remanifests itself someplace else. So rather than looking at when am I getting a new job, let's look at what can I do to prepare myself for the next job that comes in. I get a lot of relationship questions too. And I don't mind relationship questions, but sometimes there's expectation in your questions. And you can't have expectation and be open at the same time. So when people call me and are like, I have questions about my relationship or my love life. When am I going to meet my soulmate, or when am I going to meet that Mr. or Mrs. so and so? Perfect. The question shouldn't be when I'm going to meet this person. It should be what can I do to improve myself in a way that attracts in people that are in the alignment of my journey that will walk with me on this path with greater connection and greater stability or whatever, right? Because people ask for their soulmates all the time, and I'm going to do a whole show on this when we get closer to Valentine's Day. But it's a soulmate myth. There's this myth that your soulmate is going to complete you. And in some ways, that's true, but your soulmate also brings you your heaviest, most difficult lessons. Your soulmate is your one of your most powerful teachers. So yes, it may feel as if though you've been completed in some way. It's because this person is the one who was sent to bring you the heaviest lessons, because they are a soulmate. Soulmates do work together, so they're very difficult relationships. So it's a word we kind of misuse sometimes. So people are always asking when their soulmates come on. Be careful what you ask for. Soulmate brings you your greatest lessons. Soulmate can mean different things to different people, but that's in my experience, that's what soulmates are. Soulmates are the ones that bring you your biggest lessons. They bring you a lot of blessings too. Don't get me wrong, and if you both can survive all the lessons together, when things the ship stops rocking and things settle out, typically those relationships are very powerful. And even when they fall apart, which they often do, there's usually some connection that's still maintained there. There's these threads that still run between the two individuals who went through the experience together. So they're very connected, no matter what. They may not want to be, but they will always be. That's why you have to be very careful with those questions. So now that I said that, we do have a couple callers on tonight. So we're just take a couple calls. Remember, we're only going to do like 7 minutes. So I ask that you respect that, and I ask that you respect the process. So basically, this is how it's going to roll. I'm going to say, ask you for your name and where you're calling from, and then I'm going to ask you those couple questions, and we'll tune in together. We'll sit together. We'll breathe together. If I feel something's coming up, then I'll bring our awareness to that part of the body or that part of you that needs healing. I may ask you a few questions to open us up or to deepen that experience together. So, I always ask that you be receptive and that you approach it with an open mind. So there's not going to be a lot of you asking me tons of questions because we just don't have time. So I ask that you just be open to receive whatever healing that you need in this moment from the session. So let's just breathe together for a bit before we do this. Let's just breathe. Inhale and exhale and let yourself just come into a place of balance. Let's just invoke God herself to protect us and to surround us with loving, healing energy as we open to this process. Holy Mother, in who we live, move, and have our being, from you all things emerge, and to you all things return. Open our hearts to this experience. Open our eyes to what needs to be seen. Help our feet to connect to the earth as we walk this path. And just open us deeply to the experience of healing. All right, here we go. Area code 630, your first name, where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Mia, and I'm calling from Florida.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So let's just breathe together for a bit.
Okay.
And just inhale and exhale, and just let the body be. Just let the body, it knows what to do. The body's very smart. So, what's the current emotion you're feeling in your body?
I guess confused.
Explain that to me a bit.
I feel lost sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not
What in you
sure
needs
about
healing at this
direction.
time? Yeah. So what in you needs healing? The sense of being lost and the need for direction.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just sit with that for a moment together. And let's just breathe. Because when we're lost, we're always looking for something to bring us back home. And the breath is one easy way to do that because it's always there. And sometimes I feel they're telling me that sometimes for you it's you have to get really clear on what it is that you want. So I feel like sometimes you're casting your net really wide. And sometimes when we overreach, we distract ourselves from what we're actually asking for. So be very clear on what your intent is. Like, what is it that you really want? Like, what, until we know a direction, we really are going to feel lost. It's like a lot of people, like I use the example of meditation. There's so many different ways to meditate and different methods and different teachers. So people say, I want to meditate, but they get so lost because there's so much, and they want to do it all because they're not sure which one's the right one. And sometimes just sitting and getting quiet is just the best place to start. We just start where we are because where we are is the only place we can actually be, So we're never really lost. We just may be confused about what it is that we want to do with this life experience. So what do you feel lost about? Was it your life path, your career? What is it that you feel lost about?
All the above.
All the above. So when someone says that to me, it just means we need just to make a declaration, So here I'm going to ask you another question. So if you could do anything for the rest of your life, what would it be? Don't think too hard. First thing that comes to your mind.
I'm always searching, like maybe seeking more truth.
Define that. What does that mean?
I feel like I don't know enough.
Yeah, we'll never know it all, So pick an area. What would you want to learn more about?
It's like that movie Matrix. So, take the red pill or the blue pill and just find the truth.
So this is like when people say that to me, this is what my response always is. Don't take either pill. The truth is just right here. If I have to take a pill to find the truth, it really isn't the truth. The idea is just show up because it all happens right here. And for you, I feel like the journaling is going to be something that lets you start to figure that out. The journaling it's the pill, it opens us up to what we're seeing because we can't reject what we're writing down. It's harder to reject that experience. When we start writing stuff down, we begin to actualize it. We begin to make it tangible, to make it real. But what I feel you need to do is in that statement, I said, if you do anything for the rest of your life, what would it be? And you said to seek truth. So you have to define what truth is and where do you want to start seeking? Does it mean that you go and you do specific meditation practices? If it means that you go to like a yoga class, if it means you go and read a certain book, make a commitment to one thing and let that thing be the place where you start. Because if you have your net cast too wide, you'll have 15 starting places, and it overwhelms you, and you'll not do any of them.
Yes, that's what I
So,
feel like.
yeah, so pick one thing. Because, some of us have what I call spiritual ADD, so we cast our net too wide. We want to do it all, and you can't do it all. There's no way. So we want to pick, like, one sliver. Like, if I want to be a healer, let me work on being a healer. And really get good at being a healer. And then that may open up another door for me, and then I'll walk through that door because I committed to being a healer. I'm going to commit to my yoga practice. I'm going to get deep into my body. I'm going to understand how it works. I'm going to really commit to my practice. And then that's going to open up some door. And when you really commit to these things that are showing up in your life, you really get the full benefit from them. If we half-ass commit, we half-ass it. But I'm only going to like meditate every kind of so often. What benefit are we going to get from that kind of practice? It's haphazard. It's distractive. It doesn't really do anything for us. It helps us. It actually keeps us lost. So we want to commit. So like, you can do like a 1 month commitment. Like for 40 days, I'm going to commit to this practice. And they say in the Hindu tradition or even in the Buddhist tradition, chanting the mantra for 40 days is a powerful commitment. But then people sit down and say, which mantra? I'm going to do like 15 mantras just to be sure I get them all done. Just commit to one. We have a hard time thinking that one's going to get it. one's going to do it. But there are some very powerful yogis who all they do is chant, one chant, and then that's all they do. They call God in like one way. That's it, you know. So for you, it's just a matter of making a declaration, like, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to commit to this, and then letting yourself do that, okay? So
okay.
Get a journal and start doing the journaling work.
I
feel like that'll help.
Journaling.
Good.
But the journal doesn't reveal answers. I'm just putting down
it can.
My
it
emotions.
Can if we use it effectively. So those three questions I asked you, right? You write those in your journal. If we say, if you write down in the journal the question, what is the current emotion I'm feeling in my body? I write down the answer. The journal helped me to reflect back an answer. If I do this just in my head, like, what emotion am I feeling in my body? I may like have 15 different things, and all of a sudden I'm over here in this other direction. I'm not even on that question anymore. The journal keeps me focused. So, you know, stay focused in the journal, like write down questions and answer them. And that's how you begin to do this reflective journaling. It's not just writing down like my day or what I'm experiencing. It's asking myself very pointed questions in my journal. So the journal becomes a workbook, not just a place to collect. And when your journal becomes that, then you start seeing the answers in it, because then you can go back and look through it and start highlighting things that stand out. And you'll see your journal has more answers in it than you may realize. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Absolutely. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Good night.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye. All right. We have time for one more person. Let's see.
Hello.
Area code 813, your first name, where are you calling from?
I'm Nicole. I'm calling from Florida also.
Hey, Nicole from Florida. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So let's just breathe together for a bit. And just inhale and exhale. And just come into the breath. So what's the current emotion you're feeling in your body?
Heartache, stress, depression, worry, fear.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
All the good stuff. So let's just breathe into all that stuff for a bit. Let's just show up to it. Let's not resist it right now. Let's just be in it in the most healing way possible. You know, this time of year, it brings up those kinds of things. You know, the dark months do that. So what in you needs healing at this time?
Well, I'm married, and I feel like I have a homewrecker on my hands. Yeah.
Unpack that for me. Explain that to me.
Well, my husband and I, our marriage is kind of falling apart. And he's never home. And I call him, he don't answer the phone. He don't answer his text messages. He's very distant. I just feel like he's turning against me, and he's buying new things, and we don't really have the money. He always tells me we don't have money, and where is this new stuff coming from? We don't have money. So I feel like somebody else is buying him stuff, taking care of him, and all this other stuff. So I'm really worried about my marriage, and I feel like this other woman's kind of stepping on my toes, so to speak, you know, because she knows I'm married to him, but I don't think she cares. So.
Well, here's what I'm hearing in that. It doesn't matter if she cares or knows. He's the one making that decision, too. So, sometimes in these situations, we place the blame over there, but it's right there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it takes two to tango. So if that's the choice that he's making, that's the choice he's making, you know? And it's unfortunate that these things happen in relationships, but they do. It's the reality of it, you know.
Right.
It's just the world we live in. Things just aren't ever going to be perfect or even lasting. And then we get to this point, we have to make a decision about what we want, you know, because that's the question that you'll need to sit with, you know, is what is it that you want moving forward? Like, what is it that you want from this experience, and what can you do to heal yourself while you're still in it, you know?
Okay.
Because when someone tells me all this, all the red flags are already there.
Yeah.
And I don't feel you two communicate well enough to really dig down and do the healing work necessary to repair this. There's a lot of distance there. There's a lot of walls. And not just around him, but around you also. I feel you've put up a lot of walls as well. And when we feel our trust has been violated, we do that. We naturally put walls up because we don't want the other person to know that we're feeling vulnerable and hurt. But in order for you two to really communicate, you're both going to have to let those walls come down enough to really talk about this.
Right.
And say, hey, look, we're at the end of the line.
We're
dangling by a thread. And either we talk about this, or I'm going to start taking care of myself in a way that lets me move on. Because in the end, it's really all about you. And it sounds selfish to say that, but relationships should have that put into them right away. Hey, we're going to share this experience, but it really is all about me.
Right.
I don't need you. I want you in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The minute we start needing somebody, we've already killed the relationship because there's too much attachment and dependence. You know, if I say, you know, I want you in my life, that means I've made a choice to allow you into my space. But also with I want you there, I could also reject that any time.
Right.
It's a non-binding contract. Need creates a binding contract between two people.
Right.
You know, and that's a dangerous place to be in a relationship because the minute we have that agreement, we've killed it.
Right.
And it's dangerous because we see it in, you know, popular culture says we need the other person. We need someone to complete us. I need you completely. It's like, I don't need you at all. You only complete me in these very small sections, but that's replaceable, you know, because it really is. And sometimes relationships just run their course, you know, and sometimes we just forget why we got into this to begin with. And those are conversations that you'll have to have and sit down and it may just be opening up to them and saying, hey, look, there's a lot of, and not even bringing up that, but just keep it between, like, right here, because this is what we can control. Mm-hmm. And say, look, you know, it's obvious that things aren't working out so great right now, but we need to talk about this. And maybe let's start with what was it that brought us together in the first place? And let's start there and see if that still exists. Because sometimes we're staying together chasing some idea that died a long time ago.
Okay.
And when you do that together, one, you set up an invitation for this person to join you in that experience, this conversation, having honest conversation about the relationship. If they won't even show up to that, you have your answer.
Okay.
You know, it's like if I ask my partner, hey, I need you to show up here and I need to have this conversation with you because it's important to me because our relationship together, my staying in this relationship with you is dependent on this dialogue. If they're like, I can't talk about that with you, I'm not going to talk about that with you, well, then that's my answer. Because at that point, then I know I have to focus on rebuilding myself and creating
a
path
or they're saying, oh, I'm too busy, I got to go do this or I got to do that, and they don't take time, you know, to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, that's all distractive stuff. And that may come from their fear. And then you can, what I always say when they say something like that initially, I'll say, okay, look, I understand. There's fear about having these conversations. I'm not doing this to try to separate us. I'm doing this to try to salvage what we can here.
Right.
And sometimes, because I feel like he has his fears also, you know? So to assuage those fears and say, hey, look, because anytime someone says, hey, we need to talk, immediately fear comes up, you know? It's just natural.
Yeah.
The doctor says it to you, it brings up fear, you know? It's just we're programmed to know that those words equal fear. So
I've tried talking to I try to tell that to my husband, but it's like You know, he's so caught up into what he's doing. He's like running around the house, and he's like, "You still talk to me while I'm doing all these things, running around the house?" I'm like, no, I need you to sit down and talk to me. It just doesn't give me the time of day to do that.
Right. Yeah. So just be more clear about what's at stake, because I feel he'll need to hear that in order to stop and to actually sit down and listen. You know, he cares about nervous energy. He's like a very nervous person. So it's. I feel like you'll need to do that. That'll bring him back down into the conversation with you.
Yeah. Okay.
And just kind of just put it out there and say, look, we're in salvage mode now. And if this is going to end, let's let it end gracefully without any anger or fear or resentment. Otherwise, it's going to, one way or the other. We either, like I said earlier in the show, we can co-create this beautiful ending, or it'll fall apart on its own, or we can work to see what's still here and see if we can grow a new garden.
Right.
So we have three options. One is going to happen. We know one's going to happen. You know, and one usually happens on its own when we're here. When someone asks these questions, it means we're already, it's already in the free fall. So we can either create a net for it, or, you know, decide together to end it, or put our hands in the soil and grow something new together.
Right.
You know? But it requires some heavy lifting and heavy talking. And if you're both not willing to talk, then you get your answer from that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So don't be afraid.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid to, like, yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid to have those conversations, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, my friends, my beautiful people who joined me on this experience. Deep breath. Let's just breathe together one last little time here. So we're going to sign off tomorrow night. Barbara Marx Hubbard, very powerful guest. Neil Donald Walsh wrote an entire book about her. She is amazing. Tune in tomorrow night, p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You don't want to miss that show. She's a phenomenal author, speaker, futurist. She's gonna lay down some heavy stuff for us. I'm really excited about this show. And again, I appreciate you. If you're listening to this live or on the download, I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking time to tune in with me, to be here with me, and allowing me to be here with you. And just thank you. And as always, you are loved, you are beautiful, and you are divine. Namaste.